Evening church. Oh my goodness. All worn out from the week already. It's good to have you all here. If you noticed, we have moved out of and beyond Hebrews chapter 10. You guys listened really fast last week, and so we were able to finish that up. And so we are in Hebrews chapter 11. I will say this. Hebrews chapter 11 has the same amount of slides as Hebrews chapter 10, 126. However, my printed material that goes in between the verses, because the only thing I put up are the verses, made it so that we have to have three books instead of two. So if we think we're getting done with Hebrews chapter 11 any faster, probably not going to happen. But just so you know, it's we usually take our Sunday nights here and hopefully get a little deeper, think a little harder, scratch our head a little more, have a few more notes to study throughout the course of the week, just a little more in-depth study as we've done. So Hebrews chapter 11, if you've got the booklets, as I said, there are those available. Tim's got them back there. They are for sale now. Before they were free. Now they're for sale. It's like a guy at Tennessee that hands out free coupon booklets, which I've been known to do. But anyway, he's got those back there. Or remember, don't forget, online we've got the digital copies as well. So, Hebrews chapter 11 has been called by many different titles or names. Some have called it the Biblical Hall of Faith. In this chapter, we will see the name of some of the great people of God throughout the Old Testament. Some have called it the Hall of Faith or the Hall of the Faithful. Some others have called it the Great Faith Chapter. This is our operative word here in Hebrews chapter 11, and that is the word faith. Faith must be defined. Faith is not just belief in God. Faith has two components, belief and trust. Biblical faith is a belief that and a belief in. Do we understand that? A belief that and a belief in. A belief that is a belief that God exists and the Bible is true. A belief in speaks of trusting fully. Often we use the word faith as a synonym to belief, but biblical faith is much more than just believing something in your head. One individual said, faith is doing what God says. And I know, as we've shared before, you look in dictionaries and you see, and they, as we said, we want to try to make these words mean the same thing and as close and as even in our understanding as we believe that they may be, there is a difference between faith and belief. The chapter really springboards off the Old Testament quotation that closed chapter 10 and verse 38, where it said, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And so that ought to help us right there understand the difference in belief and faith, because it says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back," and we talked about how we're not going to shrink back. Paul tried to encourage the people how they are not to shrink back, not to step away, but it says, "My soul has no pleasure in him." So if faith and belief are the same thing, which we're saying that they're really not, you can still believe in God and not have faith in him. And unfortunately, many people do that all the time. When he said, "My righteous one shall live by faith," he was saying that this means to attain right standing with God is through faith. Right standing is not just through having belief, but it comes by living by faith or a determination to be faithful. That's why, I don't know if you've noticed, when we have the plan of salvation up there, what do we start off with? Belief. What's the last one? Faithful, or our faith that is full. And so as we look at those are, and those, we get there, by continuing to add those things to our Christian walk. In chapter 11, he will focus on two major points about biblical faith. First, he will highlight that biblical faith is seen through actions. This is much like the James passage that we're told, you know, show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. This has to, our biblical faith has to be shown by actions. We can't just scream all day, I have faith in God, I have faith in God, and then not do anything. Second, he will point out that biblical faith is forward looking. And I'll admit, and I think if any struggle that we have as Christians when it comes to those promises of God and is putting our faith not in what we've seen from the past, we love reading Hebrews chapter 11. Not what's currently going on, but what will take place in the future. Right? How many here worry about the future? Right? We're not supposed to worry. We're Christians. Right? But we do. We do. And that is where, then, who do we put our faith in? Notice I said who and not what. Who we put our faith in is our Lord. But it's forward looking. Have you ever been in a meeting? Maybe it's a leadership of some sort or however it may work. And we're like, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna accomplish this? You know, first of all, what's one of the first things that always comes up as a possibility on why we shouldn't do something? Money. Money. Right? Well, do we have the money? Yes, we do. The Lord says He will give us He will supply every need that we have. The problem is it might just still be in our wallets. So we might have to look beyond that. But maybe it's there and we have to refocus, relook at things, how we do things. But that faith in looking to the future is what really becomes scary at times. Because maybe that endeavor, you know, one of those things, and I've been praying for it, and I hope that you continue to pray for it as well. But we are down to just 3 to 4 years left on our loan for this building. If we keep the status quo is where it's looking. But wouldn't it be great if we get it down to the 3 years? You know, we say between 3 and 4. Wouldn't it be great if in 3 years, all of a sudden, we had another, you know, $120,000 a year to put into missions, into the school, into whatever it would. And so we like to think about that. And we worry about that. We worry, well, what if we don't make the payments? Well, what if we pay it off early? What if we have these things? I guess what I'm saying is the more important things. Is it important that we have a building and a facility? Yes, it's a great asset for the school, for the church here. We're able to do many great things. Yes. But looking into the future can be a scary thing. And almost to the point where we say, well, you know, if we just take our time in the normal and we pay the normal, we do the normal, then you're looking at, you know, 5 to 6 years. So what gets scary then is it that, well, what would we decide to use that money for? Oh, I'd be scared to death. Challenge me to come up with an idea. Right? To challenge us to come up with an idea for that money that no longer needs to be collected here. So for that, we'll find something, some mission, something that we can do. But again, it goes back to that action that we're told about. And it's having that forward looking of not settling in and being content with where we're at. And it gets very easy, because these chairs are pretty comfortable. Remember, there was a time where those in Uganda, they had their plastic chairs kept getting stolen every week. Right? What if we shipped them all of our chairs and we sat on plastic chairs? I guarantee our plastic chairs wouldn't get stolen. But then what would we be sitting on? Plastic chairs. Right? We limit our thinking. We make it short thinking. Let's make it forward thinking. Let's make it long-term thinking. Let's make it so that we are doing our best to look ahead for the cause of Christ. Why is that? Because remember that passage of Scripture that finished off chapter 10, verse 38 says, don't shrink back. Don't look back. Don't go back. Let's move forward. An old song that I know I've heard Art Bush do and many, many others through the years, but is we ain't giving up no ground. We're just moving forward. We need to sink in, look forward. That's what this chapter is about. It's given us things of the past really to encourage our future. You'll notice how much of the example in this chapter is about looking ahead. As we said, we're not told to shrink back. He's telling us that we need to be like those Old Testament saints. And you know how they persevered? They looked ahead. What did they have to look back to? See, at least you can kind of understand those Christians here. I'm not saying it's right, but these Christians here, these Hebrew Christians that Paul is trying to exhort, at least they're looking back to the old covenant. What did those that were living the old covenant look back to? They had nothing to look back to. All they could look to is look forward. When we look ahead, we'll gain different views and better perspectives on what we are looking forward to accomplish. In this chapter, our author will illustrate that faith which saves the soul by pointing to men and women from Jewish history who passed it. He begins, however, with a statement concerning this saving faith, which some have called its definition. Hebrews 11:1, as we introduce the text here. Faith is, on the one hand, the substance or confidence or courageous assurance of things hoped for. This term expresses the sense well of the Hebrew word for faith used throughout the Old Testament. It is that confident and assured trust in God which enables one to endure with patience while moving toward the object of his hope. So faith on one hand is that. Faith is on the other hand the evidence of proof, the absolute conviction of things not seen with physical eyes. What's that called? Our faith, as we look at that. Not seen with physical eyes. The terminology expresses the sense of the Greek word for faith used in the New Testament. Saving faith, however, in every age and among all men involves both of these elements. Putting it more simply, such faith is convinced of future good because it knows that the good for which it hopes already exists invisibly in God. Now let's try to think about that. For whatever mission, whatever idea, whatever plan that we have, that we're setting out, that we've got, and we're scared, we're set out in faith, but yet that faith sometimes is still something that we worry about. It's a reminder to us here that it is something in the future that we are looking to. And it is a place, here's what should help to calm us down, to bring us to a firm belief in this and our faith, is when we get to the future on whatever was our scary thing, whatever was our fear, guess who's already there? And I can't help but think, you know, we say, oh yeah, we did this and this. And maybe, just maybe, the Lord looks at us through His infinite wisdom and says, what took you so long? Right? Well, we're going to be involved in this mission now because we don't have to pay for the building anymore. But what took you so long to pay the building off? Well, we had to be smart, right? One of my most fearful words to hear or phrases to hear when it comes to our faith is, how many times do we say, well, we've got, now I've lost the word. The Lord made me lose the word. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say it. Oh, I know what it is. Lord gave it back to me. So that's a proof. No. But when we sometimes struggle with moving forward, we don't, because we like to use this phrase, well, we've got to be good stewards of what we have. Right? Have we ever heard that phrase, to slow down moving forward in the Lord's kingdom? Have we ever used that phrase for slowing down work in the Lord's kingdom? Because we got to be good stewards of it. Remember, it's not our money. Well, we've talked before about those beneficial funds, benevolent funds, and things of that nature, where churches get upset because at the end of the month, the money's gone. Well, what's the point of having a beneficial benevolent fund if you just save up the money? Right? And so, like I'm saying, is the Lord saying, as He's already there where we get to, what's took you so long? Haven't I provided for you on everything else? That's what the whole idea of faith is. Whether it's salvation, whether it's finances, whether it's just the nerve. And I think that's probably where most of us are at least that's where I'm. It's just the nerve to set out, because you know what might happen? We might fail. But the Lord's telling us, I'm already there. Come with me. come with me. Come join me. And so that's when that conviction, our faith rises to meet great occasions, accomplishes mighty works through God's power, and endures every kind of suffering for the sake of Him whose voice is it has heard and whose reward it has seen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is not necessarily the definition of faith, but a description of what faith does. Here the intent is descriptive of biblical faith. He is going to explain what the results are for a person who has determined to walk by faith. I almost want to ask for hands to be raised tonight. Have we? Do we? Are we determined to walk by faith? It seems that it is best understood when we view this word as not speaking about belief or even just trust. But what did we say that true faith was? Belief moving together with trust. That's what true faith is. Belief with trust. The focus is on biblical saving faith. We will see this validated in verse 2. This whole chapter is about an obedient, active faith. Remember, chapter 10 closed with the idea of a determination to be faithful and not shrink back. We looked at that heavily last week. We've talked about it already this time. In this verse, faith is described two ways. First, it is described as the assurance of things hoped for. The word carries the idea of a title deed. What a title deed is to real estate, faith, is for the things hoped for. A title deed is a guarantee that the property we claim is really owned by us. It is the means by which we claim our hope with confidence. So the word confidence is used here. We can have confidence of things that are in the future, even things that we have not seen. And so as we talk about this, we are here. There are many are here that have a vision for what they want the church to look like in the future. But here's what I want for you to understand is that over 100 years ago, right, that about 120 years ago, 125 years ago, there were people here that you don't know their faces, probably couldn't pick them out of a lineup, that had the same vision of what they wanted for the Church of Christ in Harlan to be doing 125 years from then, today, that you know nothing about. But they had a vision to carry it out, to make it happen. And we then get to sit here, in here, and reap the benefits and reap the rewards of other people that have been faithful for 125 years. So now what we've got to ask is, what are we going to do about it? You can take a short drive around the country, around the United States, and stumble onto any Church of Christ on a Sunday morning, and the chances are they are not at their peak attendance average that they've ever been. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what I'm saying is their faith, their productivity, their attendance value was greater sometime in the past. What does that mean? What does that say about their future? Where is our faith? Our faith, is it not in the future where our Lord already is? And so as we look at this, as we move forward, we would hope that we are doing something with our faith here, that if the Lord tarries and raises up elders and evangelists in this congregation to continue the work for another 125 years, I hope that it's not just doubled. That would be short thinking on my side. But help them to get to the highest attendance that they've ever had. And not just putting butts in the pews, but putting hearts on the line for Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden, does faith start to look a little different? For those things that we have not seen, the word assurance in the Greek, which is a compound word that literally means to stand under. The idea being expressed here is that faith is pictured here as the thing that is central to the Christian life. Faith is the thing that stands under and supports our hope. So many different areas of our life. Right? Those of us that have a camper, what do we put under each corner of the camper? A support. A stand for that. If you're Jim Snobble with your canopy, you usually find a 14-foot big tall stick to put your tennis shoe on top of to support up your canopy. But we've all used it one time or another. You're working in the garden. What do we have to do? Those tomato plants are growing. We do something to lift them up and to support them. We can think of it continually in our life and how that works. Why would our spiritual life be any different? That we need to reach over maybe to somebody next to us, somebody behind us, and we reach down and we lift them up and we help them to stand firm. Because as we said, there are many times, I believe, that we have a lot more faith in another individual than that individual may have in themselves. And so who can support them? It's our responsibility to stand up. That's faith. That's helping them realize their faith. It supports our hope. Some translation use the word assurance, while others use substance or the real thing. Isn't that Coke? Isn't Coke the real thing? The same word was used earlier in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3, the first portion of that verse. Clear back, if you can remember that long ago. I can't even tell you when we started, when we were in there. I'll have to go back and look. But anyway, Hebrews 1, 3a said, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." What did we talk about this morning is our nature? Sin. Not a good thing. But the old man was laid to rest and the new man arose to walk in the newness of life. And therefore, we no longer have our nature. We've got his nature, the Spirit living in us. Remember, we talked about that title deed, that guarantee? That Holy Spirit is our guarantee. That we've been signed, sealed, and we're only waiting for the delivery of our life to the eternal goal of heaven one day. Also, in Hebrews 3:14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the fast, the beginning of our assurance, firm until what? Look at that word. Look at that phrase there. firm until the end. This is again where we have to point out for those friends of ours that are the once saved, always persuasion, to hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Why? What would happen if we don't? What happens if we decide to shrink back, if we decide to give up? Then we're lost. We go back to where we came from. We don't have that assurance any longer. Both the ideas of substance and confidence are being conveyed here. He is saying that faith is the main substance or the things that have been hoped for, and biblical faith is the title deed of the things that we have hoped for. Second, it is the conviction of things not seen. Some versions will say the evidence. The word is a weak translation, but we understand it. For faith is not the evidence of things not seen, because the presence or absence of faith does not prove things not seen. The Greek word actually means conviction. Think back, as we looked a few weeks ago in this study, to the time that you became a Christian. Were you convicted at that time? I'm going to answer for you, yeah. You were convicted by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, that you, by yourself, as we shared this morning, we all need help. We can't do it on our own. You were convicted of that, and so you went to the one, the only, that could help you through this thing called life. You were convicted of that. You went before a judge and you found out you were convicted of being guilty of sin, of needing a new way, all of those things. The author is trying to tell us that walking by faith is a personal conviction that there are things that are not seen in the world that exist. We discuss it in our senior class, is the book Seeing the Unseen by Joe Beam. I've taught it at the church as a study. I know many of you have done it on your own, but it's a reminder to us as we look into Scripture, and we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 that we battle against things that we do not see, that we struggle against things we do not see, and that's exactly what it's talking about here. Our walk, putting our faith in something that we do not see. And that's exactly what faith is not seeing. If all of a sudden we were given a check for $500,000 and they said, pay the building off. Oh, our faith, yes. That's not our faith. That's sight now. That's sight. Now, it may have been somebody's faith that made that happen. But don't confuse our sight when something does happen with faith, because faith is when we can't see something happen. There is an intentional parallel. Things hoped for and things not seen. Things hoped for. Right? And things not seen. So what do you hope for? You hope for something that you haven't seen. Maybe it is something in the far off future. Maybe it's something that's as in tomorrow. You know, just to let everybody know, you know, Mr. Burton, it'd sure be great if we had a fog delay. Right? Something that I can't see. Right? And then it makes it really so we can't see. Things hoped for and things not seen. The things not seen point to all things in the universe. He again is calling the readers in forward, in a forward direction. The author is saying, faith is to the believer, confidence of the things that we have hope in, and a display of our conviction of things that are not able to be seen. I hope, I know I do, I hope that you do, have a whole lot of things in your faith bank that have yet to be realized. I'll admit some of them are personal, private, but others are very open of where we are looking to this faith. Now, this faith, again, is something we can't see now. But each one of these people that we're going to look at as we go through Hebrews chapter 11 had something that they could not see, but they knew that it was there. We did our study on Revelation and saw the discussion that John had of what heaven looked like. And I try to imagine that. But my faith isn't in what it might look like in my vision. My faith is in where the Lord went to prepare a place for me 2,000 years ago. My faith isn't in things that work against me, but of my conviction that Jesus Christ will answer the promises that He has made. As it finishes there, in that first section, in a display of our conviction. This means we might have to do something to display our conviction to those things which we are not able to see. I think there's a lot of strange, a lot of weird, a lot of wicked things, as we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, in this world that we cannot see. But I think the Lord has also provided us with a whole lot of beautiful, God-focused, Christ-centered things that we can't see either. But those are the things that we put our faith in. If you're here tonight and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray for your belief, that your belief would help you in your walk, that your belief in Jesus would lead to your repentant point in your life of, I need help, and that only comes through Jesus. To confess to the Lord that you need Him to be beside you. Be immersed into Jesus Christ so the old man is put away and the new man arises to walk in the newness of life, and then we live full of faith, that we live faithfully. And as we go through this book of, or this chapter specifically of Hebrews 11, we will see numerous examples given to us of those that walked by faith and in the end realized something very real and tangible that they were able to claim as their own as they were welcome in the gates of heaven. Josh is going to come and lead us in our song of invitation here this night. And if you're outside of Jesus, we pray that today would be your day. You could think back 30 years from now and say, you know, I remember it was that Sunday night, first Sunday night of the new year of 2026. And I became a Christian. Oh, that was great. I wonder why I waited so long.